Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 19th of May, the 139th day of 2025. We have 227 days ahead of us on our way to 2026. A week ago, I extracted a small tick from my left elbow and then delivered the tick to UMaine Cooperative Extension for testing. A day or so later, the test results were emailed to me. I earlier had thought the tick was a nymph because it had been so small, but the report specified the little critter was an adult female black-legged deer tick and that it had tested positive for Lyme disease. This news, of course, begins a new adventure in my life, an adventure with many aspects. Immediately, along with the spirochete Borrelia burgdorferi fairy, a corkscrew-shaped bacterium that has become part of my life, so too has the tetracycline antibiotic doxycycline, which I am ingesting twice daily for a fortnight to purportedly eradicate the spirochete. And, fingers crossed, the Lyme disease as well. All of this has me thinking expansively, because the moment of the ticks putting poison into my body might certainly be seen as a negative one. Yet, as Jane Hirschfield, who appeared this past weekend at the Camden Poetry Festival, writes, not one moment of this a subtraction. All day the daylight coming over the sill, like a wagon drawn by invisible big-hoofed horses working hard. Soon now your breathing will climb inside it, go away with it. All your mountains and rivers, your cities and memories, doing their silent handsprings inside it. Maintaining grace while the doxycycline does its thing is open to fortune, and therefore grace becomes much valued, like a pleasant climate. Texas poet Irene Lara Silva's El Abanico, which translates as a decorative folding fan, here metaphorically impinges upon the collective atmosphere. We are taught the beauty of the rose, the serenity of the soft and the still, the austerity of silver stars in a winter sky, the soaring of voices so untouchable heights, the images and the sculptures we can't imagine human hands making. We are rarely taught the beauty of the spinning knife catching the light, of the day that will never repeat the awe of their thundering hearts, horse and girl, horse and woman, disguising tremendous strength. Here we will create the beauty of the raw, of the alive, of the beasts. We will say we saw elaborate dresses and single silver spurs, horses with shining coats, horses with luxurious manes. Heavenward in the eastern sky, early morning before dawn this week, the planets Venus and Saturn will gather together with our waning crescent moon, which will be in its third quarter tomorrow. Today in 1536, having been found guilty on charges of adultery, Anne Boleyn, the second wife of King Henry VIII of England and the mother of Queen Elizabeth I, was beheaded at the Tower of London. Today in 1643, Massachusetts Bay Colony, Plymouth, Connecticut, and New Harbor formed the United Colonies of New England. Today in 1884, in Baraboo, Wisconsin, the Ringling Brothers opened a small circus and steadily transformed it by the early 20th century into the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, the leading American circus. Today in 1892, American engineer Charles Brady King invented the pneumatic hammer. Today in 1910, the passage of the Earth through the tail of Halley's Comet caused near panic. Today in 1944, writer and civil rights activist W.E.B. Du Bois became the first black member of the American Academy of Arts and Letters. Today in 1962, in Madison Square Garden, New York City, accompanied by jazz pianist Hank Jones, Marilyn Monroe, in front of 15,000 attendees, sang "Happy Birthday, Mr. President" to John F. Kennedy. Today in 1897, in Biscacchino, Italy, fruit grower Salvatore Capra and his wife Rosaria Nicolosi welcomed Francesco Rosario Capra, their youngest of seven children, into the world. When he was 5, the family immigrated to the United States. Of the voyage, young Frank recalls, "You're all together. You have no privacy. You have a cot. Very few people have trunks or anything that takes up space. They have just what they can carry in their hands or in a bag. Nobody takes their clothes off. There's no ventilation, and it stinks like hell. They're all miserable. It's the most degrading place you could ever be." After 13 days, the steamship Germania arrived in New York Harbor, and Frank's father, Salvatore, carried his son out onto the deck, up, and pointed to the Statue of Liberty. "Chico, look at that! It's the light of freedom!" The Capras settled in Los Angeles's East Side. Frank sold newspapers after school, eventually attending Manual Arts High School with someday soon-to-be pilot Jimmy Doolittle. Upon graduation, Frank worked his way through the California Institute of Technology, studying chemical engineering while working assorted jobs, including playing banjo at nightclubs. He completed his degree and enlisted in the U.S. Army, teaching mathematics to artillerymen destined for World War I. At the end of the war, the Spanish flu epidemic that killed thousands of servicemen nearly killed Frank Capra, too. But when he recovered, he had difficulties finding work, so he traveled the U.S. by freight car, earning money by singing, and then discovered an ad seeking an experienced film director, which Frank would not only claim to be, but would also prove. By 1934, his movie It Happened One Night would earn 5 Academy Awards, setting a record that lasted 41 years. Following the attack on Pearl Harbor, Frank reenlisted in the Army and created films featuring servicemen to help explain, as he said, why the hell they're in uniform. President Roosevelt lauded the work. Frank Capra, however, is best remembered for his 1946 film, It's a Wonderful Life. Ironically, at first, the film was poorly received. Only after a mix-up that allowed the copyright to expire and television stations in need of holiday fare discovered that they didn't have to pay anyone to show it, the film was soon being aired everywhere, and the work gradually took on an air of nostalgia, so that the movie that had failed at the box office became a family favorite. Today is also the birthday in 1795 of American financier, philanthropist, and hospital university founder Johns Hopkins, in 1800 of American portrait painter Sarah Miriam Peel, in 1861 of Australian operatic soprano Nellie Melba, in 1879 of American-born first female member of parliament in the UK House of Commons, Nancy Astor, in 1881 of the first president of Turkey, Mustafa Kemal Ataturk, in 1890 of North Vietnamese Revolutionary and President Ho Chi Minh, in 1892 of American jazz bassist, tuba player, and trumpeter Pops Foster, in 1918 of the first American woman swimmer to swim the English Channel in both directions, Florence Chadwick, in 1925 of African American human rights activist and Muslim minister Malcolm X, in 1929 of Dutch jazz pianist Cees Slinger, in 1930 of American playwright Lorraine Hansberry, in 1934 of American television news anchor Jim Lehrer, in 1935 of American actor David Hartman, in 1938 of English bassist Herbie Flowers, in 1939 of American jazz saxophonist Sonny Fortune, and of Hong Kong American actress Nancy Kwan, in 1940 of American outlaw country singer-songwriter Mickey Newberry, in 1941 of American novelist Nora Ephron, and of American labor leader Jimmy Hoffa Jr., in 1945 of British rock guitarist, vocalist, and composer Peter Townsend, in 1947 of American rock trombonist Jerry Hyman, and of British rock bassist Steve Curry, in 1948 of Jamaican-American singer and actress Grace Jones, in 1949 of American rock bassist and songwriter Dusty Hill, in 1951 of American punk rock singer and musician Joey Ramone, in 1953 of Scottish trumpeter Roddy Lorimer, in 1954 of Australian rock drummer Phil Rudd, in 1960 of British pop singer Yaz, in 1972 of Swedish pop singer-songwriter Jenny Berggren, and in 1992 of American country music singer-songwriter Lainey Wilson. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise, welcoming this ninth full week of spring and the 21st week of 2025.